Morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. Some new faces that we haven't seen in quite some time. Maybe not new faces, some faces we haven't seen in quite some time. It's good to have Larry and Lana and Mike and Brenda back and maybe whoever else I missed. It's good and great news about Nathan being baptized this past Monday night. That's a wonderful thing, a wonderful decision that he has made. I'm attempting to correct while I'm up here by time. We're going to continue our lesson here on families. I want to thank all of you all for being here and being a participant in worship. Again, I don't see any seniors here, but if there are any here, we do congratulate you as well. As we said, we're going to continue our series At Home as It Is in Heaven. We're thinking about the Sermon on the Mount. We're talking about the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught his disciples that they should pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what it means to be in the kingdom of God, to be part of the kingdom of God, is to be a people who seek to do and seek to have the Lord's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we talked about last week how every single one of our homes should be little embassies of God's kingdom in our neighborhood, where we are continually praying that may your will be done in our homes as it is in heaven. And so this morning I want to start with just some mission statements from some various companies. I'm not endorsing any of these companies anyway, but I just want you to think of their mission statements. Amazon.com's mission statement is to be the Earth's most customer-centric company. Bad news if you're from Saturn. Where customers can find and discover anything they want to buy online and endeavors to offer its customers the lowest possible prices. Facebook's is to give people the power to share and to make the world more open and connected. Uber's is evolving the world moves by seamlessly connecting drivers with riders. Through our apps, we make cities more accessible, opening up more possibilities for riders and business opportunities for drivers. The app Kickstarter has this as their mission statement, to bring creative projects to life. Google is to organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful. What I want us to see here this morning is that every single one of these organizations needs to know why it exists. Every organization needs to know and embrace its mission. And your family is an organization. My family is an organization. Every family is an organization, and every organization should know and embrace its mission. So whether it's a company, or it's a church family, or it's your family, every organization, no matter how big or how small your family is, it is an organization of people, and every organization of people should know and embrace its mission. Every organization should know why they exist and what it exists to do, and your family should know why it exists and embrace its mission. I think it would be maybe interesting, maybe a little bit scary for some of us, if you were to ask multiple members of your family if they agree or if they know what your mission is. Are all of you all on the same page as to what you are as a family? What are you trying to accomplish as a family? What are your goals as a family? What is your mindset? What is your mission? What I want us to do this morning is to consider what Jesus would have our mission to be. What would Jesus, if Jesus could look at your family and say that your household, this should be your mission statement. This is why you exist. This is what you need to be striving for every day to accomplish. This is your mission statement. I think it would sound a whole lot like what Jesus says in Matthew 5, beginning in verse 13, that you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. And I want us to notice a couple of things here this morning. First, he says that you are the salt of the earth. And we probably all know this, but salt is a blessing. And the people of ancient times up until this day have recognized that salt is a good thing. It preserves and it flavors. And it's just one of the things that is true, that salt just blesses simply by its very nature. Just by being itself, it flavors and it preserves. It doesn't have to do anything special. You don't have to do anything special to it. It doesn't have to strive for anything. It is just salt. And salt is just salty, and it flavors and it preserves. It blesses by its very nature. It makes things better just by being itself, by being what it was created to be. By being what it was created to be, it does in turn exactly what it was created to do. This is what God's people were supposed to do. When God makes a covenant with a group of people, when God comes and dwells in the midst of a people, as he did with ancient Israel, he was striving for them to accomplish something. He would say, this is your mission statement. I'm going to kind of get backed up here a little bit. But because God here, when God makes a covenant with a group of people, he does so just so that group of people doesn't get a blessing, but he does so that group of people become a blessing to everyone who is around them. That's what ancient Israel was designed to be, the salt of the earth, to preserve and to bless and to flavor, to make the world a better place. Israel was designed to be that just by being who they were created to be, just by being what they were called to be. They could be a blessing. But Jesus says if the salt changes its nature, if it becomes something other than what it was created and designed to be, if it no longer has taste, if it no longer is salty, if it doesn't do what it was designed to do, then it's worthless. It has no value, and it has to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. When God called a people to himself and he says, be this kind of people, then that kind of people becomes a blessing to everyone around them. So Jesus here doesn't speak these words to every single person in Israel, because every single person in Israel was not being the salt of the earth. He says these words specifically to his followers, to his disciples, to the remnant of Israel, to the faithful remnant of Israel. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You who are meek, you who are pure in heart, you who are the peacemaker, all of those that were mentioned in the Beatitudes, you are the salt of the earth. Well, then think about us. Those of us who have become followers of Jesus, we have become part of the remnant of Israel. And so Jesus says to us as well, you are the salt of the earth. Just by being who you were called to be, just by being part of God's covenant people, you make the world a better place. You bless your neighborhood. Your home is the salt of your neighborhood. Your family is the salt of your neighborhood. You make the neighborhood a better place simply by being the people God created you to be, simply by accepting the invitation that God has given you. I think this mirrors a lot of what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount these things, and Paul echoes that. He says there that for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Again, when God makes a covenant with a group of people, he recreates them. When God took Israel out of Egyptian bondage and he made a covenant with them, he made them his people. He recreated them. And if they had only been who they were created to be, who they were called to be, as Paul says, if they had walked in the good works in which God prepared beforehand for them to do, they would have remained the salt of the earth. But so many of them had lost their saltiness. Their nature was not that of salt. They didn't bless. They didn't flavor. They didn't preserve. But Jesus says to the remnant, to those still faithful to the covenant, to those being recreated by him, by the new covenant he is making with them, by being his disciples, they are the salt of the earth. Jesus is saying to us, he's remaking us, he's making us his workmanship, and that there are good works for us to do and that we should walk in them. Not that by doing these good works that we might save ourselves, but Paul says you don't save yourself by doing these good works. You do these good works because you are a saved people. Because through grace and through faith, you have been saved. You've become salt. And you just do what salt does. It makes the world a better place. It does good. It preserves and it flavors. It blesses. And you are, as Christians, created to do exactly that. Your family is recreated in Christ Jesus to be the salt of our communities. Every single one of our families, every single one of our households, as Christians, have been recreated by Jesus to be the salt of the earth, to be the salt of our area, of our states, of our country. Again, to be the salt of the earth. We are created to make the world a better place simply by doing the good works that God has prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them and just living out the gospel, living out the good news, being who we are created to be to make the world a better place. But remember Jesus' warning. If a salt loses its taste, if it's no longer distinctive, if by its very nature it doesn't make things better, if by its very nature it doesn't preserve, it doesn't bless, it doesn't flavor, then what good is it anymore? If your mission, if the mission of your family is not to be the salt of your community, if we are not striving to embrace our nature as followers of Jesus, if we are not blessing and we are not doing good works that God has prepared for us to do, if our homes are no different than any other home, if our family is no different than any other family, then what good is it? What good are we doing for our communities? What good are we doing for the world? Verse 14, back in Matthew 5, says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all those in the house." Again, he's saying, just as the same with salt, light by its very nature lights things up. It can't be hidden. A city set on a hill can't be hidden. It's just going to make the world a brighter place just by being what it was created to be. Just by living out its calling, it's going to make the world a brighter place. You don't light a lamp and put it under a basket. You don't hide a light. You let it shine. And Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." Now, again, not every Israelite, not every Jew, not every descendant of Abraham, but the remnant of Israel that is still there. Jesus says to be his disciple, that's what you are. And that's us as Christians too. Jew and Gentile, we decide that if we follow Jesus, then this truth is true about us as well, that we are the light of the world. And a city on a hill cannot be hidden. That's what light does. It makes the world a brighter place. I was reading this week about a story, and there's been stories since the 1700s, and maybe even before, of sailors reporting of finding glowing water in this luminescent-type light coming from the depths of the ocean. And everybody just kind of has ascribed that to old sailors' myths and legends until fairly recently, they started using satellites to view images, and they found on the Indian Ocean, they found this huge area of glowing water. And they said that it was about the size of Connecticut, about 110 miles long of glowing water, and it was bioluminescent bacteria. And they were feeding off these huge populations of algae, but they were glowing, and again, they were bioluminescent. It glows. And you think about that just for a second. It's microscopic bacteria. It cannot be seen with the human eye, but if you just took one of those bacteria, again, you couldn't see it, but since they were working together, because they were all working and striving together, because they were shining their lights together, they could be seen from a satellite from space. We really are better together than we are apart. that by us as individuals and us as in our households and this household and that household, when we do the good works that God has prepared for us to do, we shine a light into the world. We might not be able to see it. We might be microscopic by ourselves, but together we are doing what we are created to do in Christ Jesus. Just by being who you were called to be, you are being by your very nature in Christ Jesus salt. You are by your very nature in Christ Jesus light. And you cannot set a city on a hill and hide it. And so your house, your home, your family, our communities, we are the light of our communities. And again, a city on a hill cannot be hidden, and you don't put a lamp underneath a basket. And so your family, your home needs to be the light of your community. And then look at what Jesus says here in verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And that right there is it. That is our mission statement. That is what you were called to do. He finishes the metaphors. Be salt. Be light. Well, okay, what exactly does that mean? What does it mean to be salt? What does it mean to be light? Well, here it is. Do good works so that, in a way that people give glory to your Father in who is in heaven. That is the mission statement. That's what we do. We do good works because that's what we were created in Christ Jesus to do. To bless our neighbors. To love our neighbors. To help our neighbors. To serve our neighbors. To help and love and serve each other. To even help and love and serve our enemies. Everybody. To be a blessing. That's what happens when God makes a covenant with you. Not to just receive a blessing, for you just to receive a blessing, but it's you becoming a blessing to all those around you. That's what salt does. That's what light does. It is by its very nature, and it is by your very nature in Christ Jesus. And so Jesus says, let your light shine in such a way that people can see your good works. And that they don't give you the glory and say how awesome you are and pat you on the back and thank you for being you and just doing what you do. But we do these good works in such a way that our Father in heaven is glorified. What if we had this as a mission statement for our families? Here's our mission statement, that others may see our good works and give glory to our Father in heaven. That's it. That's why we exist. That's why our families should exist. Not just for fun, not just for a big house or a nice car. Our families do not exist so that everybody can become well-educated and comfortable and happy. Your family exists and is recreated in Christ Jesus to be a blessing, to do good works so that others would see those good works and give thanks and glory to our Father who is in heaven. That's still pretty vague, isn't it? It's still pretty broad and general, do good works. How broad can we be? It's just vague. What does that look like? What does Jesus mean? Why isn't Jesus more specific? I need tangible things. I need practical things. Give me something specific to do other than just do good works. So why so vague? Well, I think it's because our talents are so varied. You all have different talents than I have. You have different abilities than I do. You can do things that I can't imagine being able to do, that I wish I could do some of those things. You can do amazing things. So the good works that God has prepared for you to do might very well be different than the good works he has prepared for me to do. The good works that he has prepared for you to do might be very different than those that he has equipped your spouse to be able to do. It might be different than the ones that your children are able to do or the rest of your family, but all of us have been made salt and light by our very nature. We make the world a better place if we walk in the good works that God has prepared for us to do. So again, our mission statement, let others see our good works and give glory to our Father in heaven. So look around and use your imagination. Take stock of your talents and your abilities and your resources and your skills and do good works so that other people can see them and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You know, the church has always been shined the brightest during the darkest times. I was reading about the plague in the 3rd century, and a bishop wrote what it was like during that plague. And he wrote this in 260 AD. He said that most of our brother Christians showed unbounded love and loyalty, never sparing themselves, thinking only of one another. Heedless of danger, they took charge of the sick, attending to their every need and ministering them in Christ. And again, they were living through a plague that was horrible, by the way. 5,000 people a day were dying in the city of Rome alone. They didn't have the ability to spread the word via social media or anything like that. They didn't know why all these people were dying. The unbelievers here, and especially the wealthy unbelievers, they were getting out of town. They were not sticking around to be around all those sick people. They didn't want to be near the suffering. And so one early church leader, he said, here's what Christians did. He said they took no thought to themselves, and they took care of the sick and the need and those in need. They did good works. You know, and the church grew by leaps and bounds in the 3rd century. Why? Well, because those unbelievers in the world saw what the Christians were doing, and they said, why are you guys doing that? Why are you sacrificing your own life to take care of these sick and hurting people? Why would you do that? Because that's our very nature. That's what God in Christ has created us to do. I also think of some of the things that have happened in our time. Not too long ago, not long after COVID first hit, one company had something called a hackathon, where they took all the technological difficulties that COVID had brought into our world, and they had lots of different programmers and people that were smart with computers and things like that come and devise ways to get workarounds around issues that COVID-19 had brought our technological world. But in the same way, that's what people of faith do. That's what followers of Jesus do. We do good works that God has prepared beforehand for us to do. We might be living through a dark time in our history, but the church has always shined the brightest in the darkest times. God has good works prepared for you to do. Your family, in your neighborhood, I don't know what it might be. It might be taking food to your neighbor or taking supplies to your neighbor or encouraging your neighbor, whatever it might be. Use whatever talent God has given you. Use your talents, your skills, your resources, your opportunities. Use your imagination and make this our mission statement, that others see our good works and give glory to our Father in heaven. That's why we exist as a church family. That's why your family exists, to do good works, again, that others may see them and give glory to our Father in heaven. It is our very nature in Christ Jesus. You are salt. You are light. Now go and do what salt and light do. Make the world a better place. If there is something this morning that we can help you with, if you are ready to become a follower of Jesus and to be baptized, now would be an opportune time. Whatever your need may be, please make it known as together we stand and we sing.